Proverbs chapter number 22 is where we're going to go this morning in our scripture. And we are in week number 2 of this brand new series entitled Heart Connections. How do we connect with the hearts of those in our family and then direct their hearts towards the Lord? And that's quite a responsibility, but it is a great privilege and something we want to learn from the scriptures, how we can excel in our homes here in our His Design class. So Proverbs chapter 22, and then you've got the handout you received on the way in, and we'll kind of work through that outline together. So we've been talking about heart connections, and this morning we're going to talk about the power of a team. God designed the family to operate in a certain way and to accomplish something specific. But the only way for that to happen is if everyone does their part. Everybody has to know what their role is, and then they have to execute and fulfill that role if the team is going to accomplish all that it could. The power of a team. A couple had just moved from their farmhouse out in the hills into town, and they had unpacked all day and settled in and were just dog-tired after that long day of work and decided they were too tired to meet the neighbor. So they just felt they would do it again in the morning, and they just kind of passed out exhausted from all of the work. Well, their little 3-year-old son woke up really early the next morning, ready to go rambunctious and wanting to get at it. And so mom, kind of half asleep, got some clothes on him, you know, and said, go outside and play and let us sleep, and then we'll get the day going in a little bit. So he went outside and they fell back asleep. About 30 minutes later, he ran back into the house and he woke mom and dad once more, and he said, Mom and Dad, there's a lot of other houses in this neighborhood. They all have doorbells and they all work. And sometimes in parenting, you're never quite sure what's going to happen when you're not looking. And it's an awesome journey that we're embarking upon, connecting with the hearts of those in our family and then wanting to utilize those connections to accomplish the responsibility that God has given to you and I. This morning in Proverbs 22:6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Last week as we began this series, we talked about the 7 tools that God has given you and I in His Word to help us succeed as husbands, wives, fathers, and mothers. And one of the tools was the tool of training. God desires for you and I to impart our lives into our children and to take time to train them up, to bring discipline to their life, to bring purpose, to provide direction, to help them to make a dedicated effort to the things of the Lord. And an old proverb says this, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And it's really important that every family, whether you're a family of 2 or 4 or 6 or whatever the case may be, it's really important that every family in this room have a spirit of, we want to go together. We want to be a team, and we don't want to leave anyone behind. We want to make sure they're all moving through this opportunity together. And teamwork in the home benefits everyone. It benefits certainly the husband and wife. It benefits the children and their development as well. And it's so important that we understand the importance of this teamwork and the importance of our role. Sometimes as moms and dads, that's really challenging, or helping our children to push beyond maybe what is convenient. But you know, you think about like an Olympic runner. An Olympic runner has a trainer, and he and the trainer are not enemies for sure. They're partners together. They're on the same team. But any good trainer is going to push that athlete to the very brink of what they possibly could do so that they can succeed. And it's important when we think about the environment of home life that we, as we have the privilege of training the next generation, are pushing them for all that they can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And every success or every failure is a team success or failure. And that's the way that we have to look at it in the context of the home. So the power of team. What is the power of team? Well, number one, a team creates synergy. A team creates synergy. There's a powerful passage on this truth in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 in your notes. And let's look at it together. The Bible says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And there's great truths in Ecclesiastes 4 about the power of a team. There's great synergy that comes to the family that is working together. I think in your notes you see that the benefits of synergy as it pertains to our home life, we see there's productivity when we labor. In verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Have you ever felt like you were really working at your marriage, but it wasn't going anywhere? Have you ever felt like you were really investing yourself in your home, but it was just not producing the results that you anticipated that effort would produce? But the Bible says when two are working together, there is great reward for their labor. Why? Because they're working together as a team. And when a team is working together, the synergy of that is the productivity that that labor produces. And we want to learn in our home life, Lord, help us to work together in our marriage. Help us to work together in our family. So often in couple counseling, they'll come in and they're just at their wit's end. And there's lots of problems. There's lots of things that have got us to that moment of conversation. And what's sad though, oftentimes at that moment, usually there is one spouse in the room who really wants things to work. And the other one is still kind of trying to figure out whether or not they want things to work. And sometimes if you stick with it long enough, those roles can even change. But what is ideal is when both want it to work and are willing to do their part. There's great synergy when both are working together. There's a great reward for their labor. But there's also a preservation when we stumble. In verse 10, he says, woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. There's not someone else there to pick him up. We live in a very connected world in 2019. Social media, text message, direct message. I mean, we could connect with one another in a dozen different ways before classes out if we wanted to. But isn't it interesting in the multifaceted, connected world in which we live, how lonely people are? Sometimes in their own home. They share the same address. They eat at the same table. But there's a disconnectedness there. The Bible talks about that sometimes when we're lonely or we stumble or we're discouraged or we make a mistake, that there's not someone there for us, and that's the product of not being a team. But when you are a team, there is always someone there because we are always together. A team synergizes. It brings synergy to the home, and we want to work together as a team. It brings pyretics when we freeze. He says, how can you be warm alone? You need each other. You need that encouragement. You need that security. You need that stability in the home. He talks about it provides protection when attacked. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Listen, in our homes and in our marriages, it should never be, well, he's going through this, or she's going through that, or that's his problem, or that's her problem. No, 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 no. We're a team. This has become our problem, and we have to work together. And two shall withstand him. With the Lord's help, we can see it through. There's great protection when attack comes. And then there's power when the relationships are strained. The latter part of that passage talks about, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The differentiator between homes and families in this room and homes and families out there in the community who don't know the Lord should be in what they can handle. When strain comes, they can handle that. Not because they're supernatural, but because they have a relationship with the supernatural. not because that there's anything special in us, but because Jesus lives in us. And so because we know the Lord, because we have the Lord, then we can withstand whatever this world or whatever this life may bring. There's power when that strain comes. What is all of this a product of? Teamwork. Teamwork brings synergy. They have these massive draft horses that are used for pulling great loads. And a single draft horse is able to pull up to 4,500 pounds of load. But you take two of these horses together, and it's not 9,000 pounds they can pull, it's 12,000 pounds they can pull. You take four of these massive draft horses and you put them in harness together to pull. It's not 18,000 pounds they can pull. It's nearly 30,000 pounds they can pull. The individual pulling capacity of one horse increases from 4,500 pounds to 7,500 pounds just by adding three others to the task. What's the point? Synergy. Together, we can accomplish more. That's what teamwork is all about, and it produces incredible synergy. And think about that in the context of your home. What would your marriage look like if both were working at it together? What would your family look like if everyone were working together? And we want to think of our home, our marriages, our families as a partnership with God and with one another. The whole of the sum greater than the parts. That God is bringing incredible synergy. And this has been God's plan from the very beginning. When God created Adam and then looked at Adam and he needed someone, and so God created Eve. And her primary job was to be a help to Adam. Notice in Genesis 2:18 in your notes, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." Every married man says, thank the Lord for that observation, right? "And I will make him a help meet for him." God looked at Adam and there was a need. And so God created Eve, and she was a help meet appropriate for him. This was her role. This was her job description, if you will. She was there as a meet, a help made adequately for Adam. What was the purpose? Her purpose was to synergize Adam. Now that Adam had Eve, both could accomplish more. And that should be the product of your family and my family as well. Now, here's the enemy of that. Teamwork and synergy break down when the individuals in the relationship begin to pursue their own agenda. So now when my life becomes about me, and what I want or what I want to accomplish or the passions that I may have, then we begin to lose the multiplier that we had in the synergy of teamwork. Now, God, in His divine design, gave the family a head, gave the family a help, and gave the family a household, and those are to work together following the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing synergy to their life. So ask yourself the question, is your marriage and family this morning experiencing the synergy that teamwork brings? It's powerful because of the synergy that it provides. But number two, teamwork requires cooperation, not competition. It requires cooperation and not competition. You never want to allow a competitive spirit to drive a wedge of contention and the teamwork that God desires in your home. Notice what the psalmist said in 133 verse 1 in your notes. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now that should be maybe in a lot of walls and a lot of homes, right? "Behold how good it is to dwell together in unity." Brethren, certainly there, speaking of believers, and as Christians, husband and wife, moms, dad with kids, there should be unity in our home. How good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, we have to be careful in our homes to fight off the competitive spirit, by which I mean what I want to accomplish, what I want to do. There is no I in team. But when my focus becomes me and the career I'm trying to build, or the accomplishment I'm pursuing, or the convenience that I desire, or whatever, when that becomes what it's all about for me, it deteriorates the power of the team in the home. And so there must be a commitment. It's a requirement that cooperation would be elevated above competition in our home. Now think about in the terms of parenting for a moment. Every parent desires that their children would surpass them at some point. They want to see them do great things for God. Brother Naranjan is here, and he's on our board at West Coast Baptist College, and his son Soren is in the mission work over in Sri Lanka, where they've seen so much persecution in recent days. And Brother Naranjan, I have no doubt in your heart's desire that you desire to see your son used of the Lord in a greater capacity in his lifetime than you. That's your legacy. That's what you've put your life into. But we have to think about that in terms right now with our children. We're investing our life in them because we want to see them succeed. We want to see them surpass us at some point. This is the legacy in which we are leaving. You know, we would not think anything of a coach who in their mind felt like they had to beat all of their players. This is Coach K from Duke, and this is Zion Williamson. He was arguably the number one college player this past basketball season. Now, if Zion Williamson and Coach K played one-on-one basketball, my money is on Zion. I think he's 6'8". I think he's 240-some pounds. I think he can run the court in about three steps. I mean, the guy is a God-gifted athlete. It's amazing. I think if they were to play one-on-one, Zion would win, okay? I don't think that bothers Coach K. I think Coach K understands his role. He's the coach. He's investing in, he's training, he's teaching. And Zion's success is his success. Do we think that way at our home? Wives, when your husband succeeds, do you see that as your success? You are a help meet for him, created by God, given to him for synergy, so that together you can do more. Now, I know in 2019 it's about, yeah, but look what I've accomplished. But in God's design, it's a team. And it's celebrating the individual victories, and it's seeing the successes as our successes. And when our children are accomplishing something and they begin to eclipse us in some way, it's rejoicing. There's not a competitive spirit. There's a cooperative spirit because there's the understanding of the power of team. Now, this unselfishness of the philosophy is very anti-cultural in society today, but is so needful in our homes. The power of team. Number three, teamwork requires correction with encouragement. Now, you're not going to be able to appropriately train without correction. But our correction will not be effective if it is not preceded with encouragement. Any trainer who desires to see the best understands it will require much more encouraging than correcting. Correction is part of it for sure. When someone corrects someone because they want to see them go further, it doesn't mean they're mad at them. When Coach K is coaching Zion Williamson and tells him, don't do it this way, do it this way, he's not mad at him. He's not trying to stifle his creativity. He's not trying to hold him back. He's trying to make him better. And he understands that speaking the truth in love is part of that equation. By the way, in the home life, it's important that that is alive and well in your home and mine as well. There has to be correction, but with that correction must be encouragement. We want our family to know we are their biggest fan. Husbands, I asked you this morning, does your wife know that you are her biggest fan? That you admire her? That you are grateful for her? Wives, does your husband know that you are his biggest fan? That you're cheering him on as he is pursuing the life that God has called him to. Do your children know that you are their biggest fans? And when we come to the crossroads of compliment or criticize, we want to make sure that there is encouragement flowing from our lips. Again, correction is going to be part of it, but it must be outweighed in the encouragement that we can provide. One book I read this a few months said, praise and encouragement must be on a 10-to-1 ratio of criticism when it comes to training in the home. Encouragement is so very important. Why? Because a discouraged trainee is an unmotivated trainee. Well, my kids just don't want to do anything. A discouraged trainee becomes an unmotivated trainee. Try encouragement. Encouraging them to achieve what God has created them to do. More literally than you and I might like to think, our children will become what we tell them they are. Notice in the scriptures the power of this. Beginning of Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, which means to build up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Listen, when you and I are communicating at home, what comes out? Is it encouragement or criticism? Is it building up or tearing down? Is it adding health and life or is it bringing destruction? So often what we communicate is what they will become. It's difficult sometimes in the element of being on a team. There's give and take. There's surrendering of wills. There's compromise. There's working things through. There's different personalities. You understand these dynamics in your home as I understand them in my home. But there is the power of a team. And if we are willing to be filled with the Spirit of God, to die to self and to work together, all the blessing that will come through that cooperation. Do you ever feel like your spouse isn't listening? Do you ever feel like you have a difficulty of getting your child's attention? Let me give you a suggestion this week. Try praise. Try praise. Yeah, I try to talk to him and he just never hears me. Try praise. You'll be amazed at how his ear peaks up just a bit. Man, kids, I'm telling you, your dad, he's the most amazing. I'm telling you, what was that? People don't mind hearing praise. People don't mind being encouraged. I'm telling you, it will greatly enhance the sensitivity in your home when praise is going around. And you say, yeah, but Gabe, I don't think we should have to do that. I mean, you're telling us to build each other up with praise. I don't think it's required. Listen, the God of the universe who created you and I, when he talked to you and I about talking to him, he said, enter into my courts with thanksgiving and into my presence with praise. God said, you know how I like to be entreated? With praise. It gets my attention. And it does so in the context of the home as well. Let's be sure to praise. And then the power of team is scene number four. And the fact that teamwork involves everyone carrying their own load. Now the Bible says in Galatians 6:5, for every man shall bear his own burden. This is his responsibility. In 1 Corinthians, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his house, he hath denied the faith and is worked in an infidel. There is a role that God has for everyone of the home. There is a burden, there is a portion of responsibility that they are to carry. And if your home and my home is going to benefit from teamwork, that will be the result of everyone carrying their own load. So let's take an honest self-evaluation for a moment. You don't have to raise your hand or say anything out loud, but just think. If the success of your home was based on your effort in the last 7 days, how does that look? Not your spouse's, not your children, yours. If the success of your home hinge solely upon your effort in the last 7 days, how does that look? How does your marriage look? How does your family look? What is the product of what you did? Because if a home is going to experience the power of team, that means that everyone is doing their own part. They understand their role, and they embrace that responsibility, and they are carrying their own load. Husbands and fathers must lead and serve. Wives and mothers must help and submit. Children must honor and obey. God has given us a defined role in the home. He desires for you and I to know it, to embrace it, and to do it. And as we carry that load, God blesses the synergy and teamwork of that. Now, we've got to be careful in 2019, because the tendency in 2019 is for parents to do everything for the children, right? We want them to get an A, so we do the homework. We want the project presentation to go well, so we build the whatever it is, you know. We're involved, and I understand that there's a season of that when they're very young, but at some point we must train and then let them engage in life, knowing full well they are going to fail, and letting that happen, because sometimes the best lessons in life are only learned on the other side of failure. Remember that as a child? Remember doing something you thought would go well and it didn't go very well? And the lesson learned, that's good. And we need to allow that in our lives and our homes as well. We don't want to develop a straw man mentality for our children that they can do all of these things when in reality they can do nothing. They must carry their own load. We were teasing our children the other night about some things in our home. And I think that children should be trained how to handle finances. I think that's very important. But and every family is different. You don't have to be just like us. But when we got going and the kids were young, we decided we were not going to give our children money for nothing. A lot of people call it allowances. You know, every Saturday, come to mom and dad, they give you money. You did nothing to earn it, but you get it. I understand there may be some financial training. I'm not against the financial training component. The component I didn't understand was it kind of felt like welfare. Don't do anything. Come to me. I give you money, and then come back, and I do it again. That's just not life. The Bible says if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. So we kind of decided at our home that the exchange of currency would involve some work. And that's kind of what our kids have learned, that if they want money, come to dad. There's always work to do. Want to knock out some of these bills for me, buddy? Let's talk about it, you know, right? There's always work to do. There's always things to accomplish. That's just kind of how it's been. I realize that's kind of old school. That's okay. I'm a young old school guy. But so we just kind of decided we want to teach them financial responsibility. We want to teach them all those things. But we want to teach them the value of work, okay, and learning to carry their load. Why? Because it is not my job to carry their load. It is my job to train them to carry their own. If a man is hungry and you give him fish, he's going to be hungry again. If a man is hungry, give him a fishing pole and teach him how to fish, he can feed himself. It's important in my role. I have to understand my role. My role is not to carry their load. My role is to train them to carry their own load. And so I have to know my role. I have to train, but then I have to encourage everyone in the family to carry their load. Paul said of his trainees in 2 Corinthians 3:2, ye are the epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Every mom and dad, can I challenge you this morning? Your children will be the letter read by everyone else that they meet. John Whitehead said, children are the living message we send to a time that we will not see. Teamwork. The power of teamwork. I'll close with this illustration. I'm not a huge NASCAR guy. I don't know that I've ever actually watched an entire NASCAR race, but I know what it is. And a car is on a track going very fast and someone's trying to win, right? And when a guy wins a NASCAR race, I think it's customary to go do some donuts in the infield and so on, and then present it with the trophy. And there's the car, and there's the sponsor, and there's the driver, and they won maybe the Indianapolis 500. But what you will notice at the trophy presentation is that there is a whole team of people, very skilled, very competent, very professional people that never drove the car. But without them, the race would not have been won. And because as a crew, as a sponsor, as a driver, as a team, they worked together, they experienced the victory together. Listen, in our homes, if we would focus a little less on who's getting the credit, and if we would focus a little bit more on how we're doing it, if we're winning, I think we could see God accomplishing in our home what He desires. And so today, let's be challenged as we desire heart connections to be reminded of the power of a team. That's God's plan for your marriage and your home, to be a team. So let's, by God, know our role. Let's embrace it. Let's find this week a marriage not in competition, but in harmony and concert. Let's find a family all pulling together in the same direction. And let's see what God could do with that Christ-centered synergy in your home and mind. Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You, Lord, for Your word and the power of it. And Lord, we pray that You would help us to humble ourselves to Your teaching, to find our role and embrace it, and to experience in our homes the power of a team. God, I pray that You'd richly bless every family in this room. Lord, I pray that they would experience Your blessing as they follow Your will by faith and obediently. Lord, I pray that You would work in the service to follow. Help us to be a blessing to our first responders today and help our class to live for You. And we'll praise and thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen.